Wow, what some beautiful music we just enjoyed. Amen? How many of you heard it? How many of you didn't? Shame on you if you didn't. All right, let's take our seats and let's make sure that we have a bulletin. We have lots of information to be able to share with you this morning. But first, we have a birthday, so we're going to kick things off by singing happy birthday to the birthday person that is in our service this morning. So Cheryl, would you stand? Today is Cheryl McClure's birthday. And if you don't know who Cheryl is, she is Todd's sister. So, right. So Cheryl needs your prayers even more now that you know that than even before. But that's okay. All right, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cheryl. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Cheryl. So if you see her after the service, make sure that you wish her a happy birthday individually. And so you'll be able to find her. There's this glow coming from over there because her cheeks are red. All right. Okay, well, if you have a bulletin, open it up. If you don't have a bulletin, make sure that you get one on the way out. This week, Thursday night, Awana, it's blue and orange night. For what reason? Because of Boise State, right? Hey, they played a pretty good game yesterday. All right. And so then Friday starts our anniversary celebration. Now, there's some things that I really want you to be able to know. Our anniversary team has been working for almost a whole year, maybe even a little bit longer than a whole year, to be able to make this really, really special. And so we need to be here to be able to take in all of the activities. If you signed up for the activities of the anniversary celebration, you need to be here, unless Jesus comes and takes you home. Okay, that'll be the only excuse for you to not be here. But we want you to be here. So Friday night at 7 p.m., we have a dessert social. Some of the missionaries that we support, they're going to be here. And in order for us to be able to have enough dessert, you need to bring a dessert with you. Not enough for you, but enough to be able to share with everyone else. It would be a shame if we only had one pie and we had to cut that pie so thin that our missionaries wouldn't even get a taste of what it is. We don't want to do that. So when you come Friday night, bring a dessert. I don't care if we have to have four tables full of desserts. That'll be great. Okay? And if we have any desserts left over, I'll tell you what we'll do with them later on. All right? Okay? So dessert social with the missionaries, we need you to bring desserts. We need you to be here. We need you to bring desserts. It's going to be a very special time. Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is bowling at Pins. If you signed up for bowling and you don't have to pay for the bowling, and so if you signed up for the bowling, please make sure that you're there. If you want to just show up and fellowship and kind of give the bowlers a hard time, you can do that. But don't be mean, just if you want to give them a hard time, that'll be fine. You don't have to come and bowl, but it's available for you if you... What's that?
The Peanut Gallery.
The Peanut Gallery. Okay. All right. Then at 5 p.m., we are having a catered dinner here at church. We want you to be here for that. And so we've already given the caterers the information of how many people are going to be here. We're going to have some special guests. We'll have a little special program after we eat dinner together, and you're going to want to be here for that. We have some speakers that are going to come in that have a history with Lake Hazel Bible Church, and they're going to talk about what Lake Hazel Bible Church meant to them while they were here and what it continues to mean to them today. And so there's a lot of other things that are planned for that Saturday evening as well. Sunday morning at 10 p.m., we are going to be having our regular church service. And then after the church service, we are having a church family dinner. Now, we probably will have guests with us then. And so it would be a shame if we ran out of food for the very first time because we didn't participate in bringing enough food for the church family dinner. So bring enough for you. Bring enough for to be able to share. Bring a main dish, a salad, or a dessert. Now, we have no way of being able to remind you of these things that we need you to help provide for this weekend. So you're just going to have to remember. Take your bulletin, circle it, okay? Circle, bring a pie or it's cookies or whatever for dessert. Bring a main dish. Bring a salad or dessert for church family dinner. Circle that so that you have that in front of you. Couple other things. If you ordered T-shirts, this would be a great opportunity for you to wear your Lake Hazel Bible shirt T-shirt. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. That would be a great opportunity for you to be able to do that. Also, wear your name tags. If you have a lanyard, put your name tag on your lanyard. That would be great. If you don't have a lanyard, wear your name tag anyway, because we are going to be having guests with us. So Friday night, name tags. Saturday evening, name tags. Sunday morning, name tags. T-shirts, T-shirts, T-shirt. Y'all got it? Y'all understand? Okay. All right. This is a big, big weekend, and we want to make it really extra special. And so, because we want to make our anniversary team proud of us. Amen? And so we need to be able to do that. All right. If you have any questions, come and see me afterwards. I'll try to answer those questions for you. Well, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Ready to worship? Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning as we get started? We're going to sing, "This Is Our God."
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray, but he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did. He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God. This is what he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Yeah.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, he's worth your praise today. Yes, it's good to be back. The Lord is so good, isn't he? Yes. He is our hope. We're going to sing all about that today. He is our strength. He's our life. He is a solid rock on which we stand.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. This next song is called Living Hope, and then we're going to sing a song that we don't sing very often. It's called Break Every Chain. I don't know what it is that you might be going through, what it is that it's been on your heart and your mind that's weighing you down, that's got you chained and held back. And so today, take these next few minutes, calm yourself down, maybe even close your eyes. Maybe pray these words to the Lord. Thank him for what he's done for you, for who he is, and receive that freedom.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness, joy through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. faithful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is a victory. Set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. And there is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, freely given, such a price bought our redemption. Heaven's gates swing wide. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I meet with you, and my soul sings out as your word throws doubt far away. I sing to you and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. Sing this out. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest In my selfishness, you show me grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. I will wait on you. You are my refuge. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. The peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. Yeah, my hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord.
As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I'm going to pray for us and pray for that offering. Lord, today we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done on our behalf. We thank you for being big enough, strong enough to defeat death, the grave, to break every chain, and to set us free in Christ. Lord, that's what we thank you for today. You're amazing. You are incredible. Lord, we want to say thank you. Not with money in a plate, not with an hour on a Sunday morning, but with our whole life. Lord, we want to say thank you every day. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to find our hope in you day to day. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Times are hard, times have changed, don't you say? But I keep holding on to you. It's hard to keep the faith alive day to day, leaning on the strength I've found in you. You're the hope of all the earth. You are my hope. You are my strength. You're everything, everything I need. You are my hope. You are my life. You are my hope. You are my hope. Far beyond what I can see or comprehend, etching your eternity in me. Nations dream and angels sing, Jesus reigns. And every knee bows down. You're the hope of all the earth. You are my hope. You are my strength. You're everything, everything I need. You are my hope. You are my life. You are my hope. Carry on and I sing about your love, and I love you start to sing. You come and you rescue me. You are my hope. You are my hope, you are my strength, you're everything, everything I need. You are my hope, you are my life, you are my hope, you are my hope, you are my hope.
He is all we need. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We are making progress through our study of the book of Genesis. It's slow, but it's progress. So when I was growing up, as you can tell by the front of the bulletin, one of my favorite comic book and cartoon characters was Popeye the Sailor Man. Now, I suppose that it was because my dad was a sailor man. And Popeye had a tattoo on his forearm, and my dad had a tattoo on his forearm. Not the same tattoo, though. And often, Popeye would find himself in difficult adventures and difficult situations. And after trying to change his situations for the better and not finding success, Popeye would be at the end of his rope, and he would say, "That's all I can stand, and I can stand it no more." This meant he'd had enough. And then he would pop open a can of spinach, and it would give him the needed strength to make the situation better. And as I've been working on this message of the early verses here in Genesis chapter 6 for several weeks, this statement of Popeye keeps coming back to me. That's all I can stand, and I can stand it no more. So hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 6, and let's read verses 1 through 7. When man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." Now, there's a lot of speculation and theories about what some of these verses mean. There are at least three main theories as to what the verses 4 through 6 mean. And we could spend a lot of time chasing these theories this morning, which I think would take away from the focus of these verses. If you want to know what those theories are, you come and ask me later. If you want to have a discussion about those, you come and discuss that with me later. Because here's our focus for this morning. God has had enough. God is at a point where he might be thinking, that's all I can stand, then I can stand it no more. Because the world is a corrupt world. If you're taking notes from the back of the bulletin, that's the first point. The world is a corrupt world. In spite of the speculations, in spite of the theories, that's the focus. The world has become corrupt. Mankind has become corrupt. Mankind has become ungodly in their thinking and in their actions. They have gone from righteousness to evil. They have gone from fellowshipping with God to doing that which is wicked. The world is a corrupt world. God had been pushed, and he had taken all he could. We saw that there was worship of God as we looked at Enoch's walk with God. But we do not hear anything about man's relationship with God after God takes Enoch. Now what we do see is what is happening to mankind. What brought God to the point that he had enough? One word, three letters, sin. Look at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you get that? Only evil continually. Everything they thought or even imagined was consistently and completely evil. Every thought and action was for their own selfish wants and desires. They were giving in to their own desires and wants with absolutely no regard for anyone or anything. And God has looked into the heart of mankind, and he's had enough. That's what's important here in Genesis chapter 6. Most of the time when the Word of God describes the heart, it's talking about all that a person is, that inner person. And there was no thought of God in their hearts and lives whatsoever. And so in the middle of this sin and wickedness, God declares he is going to do something, and it doesn't involve opening a can of spinach. Look again at verses 6 and 7. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. You know what this tells us? Sin always has consequences. Sin always has consequences. One more time. Sin always has consequences. When we do not set our hearts on the instructions given to us by God, when it is all about us and our desires, there will be consequences. For these folks, destruction is coming. Not only were they to live with the consequences, but so was every living thing on the earth. Did you see that? Sin's consequences will not affect us only. It affects everyone around us. Folks, this is a biblical principle. It's unchangeable. It's non-negotiable. It's the way that it is. Sin's consequences will not only affect us, it affects everyone around us. And very soon, we're going to see that God destroys them through a global flood. Destruction. Destruction. All because of their hearts being blinded by what they desired. All their thoughts and actions were all about themselves. I am sure that these people could never imagine that a worldwide flood would be coming and would completely destroy them. God is going to complete the process these sinful people have started. They're destroying themselves. So God's just going to speed up the process. Even though God had enough, he looked through his heart of grace and look at who he saw. Look at verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What does this tell us? This tells us, here's the second point. We can live in a corrupt world through trust. We can live in a corrupt world through trust. Like Noah, we can live in a corrupt world. Let's go back to verses 6 and 7. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. And then God looks through the eyes of his grace, looks through the heart of his grace, and it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God was grieved that he made human beings. When we are told that God regretted here in Genesis chapter 6, in the Hebrew it means he breathed deeply. He sighed. Why? God was disappointed with his creation. 1,500 years before this, God had made mankind innocent and righteous. God desired that people would desire a relationship with him. But these same people chose to rebel. And now that they've gotten so bad, God has no choice but to bring his righteous judgment to them. Do you think God enjoyed coming to this decision? No. Look at what it says in verse 6. It grieved his heart. And I'm sure that God's heart is grieved as he sees the wickedness of sin in our day. I'm sure that God's heart is grieved when he sees the wickedness of sin, when we allow it to come to be a part of our heart and our lives. So how can we survive? How can we survive and thrive in such a world? How can we combat the evil forces of our day and protect our families from their destructive influences? How did Noah do it? Well, the answer is found in verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace and compassion from God. Hey, I think we sang some songs this morning that reminded us of the grace and the compassion of God. This is 100% God's grace. And as we're going to see, Noah was far from sinless. But God's heart of grace found Noah. Drop down to verse 9. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. We are told that Noah was a righteous man. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but Noah was the only person in the Old Testament that was ever referred to as righteous. Now, there were a few others that were. But it's quite interesting that Noah is the only one referred to in this way. Not only has a righteous man, but did you see? Noah was called a blameless man. That's quite a compliment. What does it mean that Noah was a righteous and blameless man? Does that mean that he had achieved a level of never failing? Does it mean that he was completely faultless? Does it mean that he never sinned? No, it doesn't mean any of that. So then what does it mean? Well, a preacher of old said this. Noah had right dispositions and principles implanted in him. He was righteous in his lifestyle. He was an upright and blameless man. He was perfect in the sense that he was sincere in his desire and in his efforts to please God. He was perfect in the sense that he loved God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, mind, and strength. And he loved his neighbor as himself. And he allowed that love to direct his conduct. Wow. What a description of Noah. What a way for Noah to be remembered. I hope that I can be remembered in that way as well. And I hope that that's the desire of your heart in the way that you want to be in, to be remembered. Now keep in mind that Noah lived in sinful times, and so do we. The secret to Noah's ability to live blamelessly in a generation of wickedness can be summed up in four words. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Sometimes when we see the wickedness and we see the evil and we see the unrighteousness in the world around us, we go, what's the point? Why am I even trying? Why am I even doing this? The world is so corrupt. The world is so evil. The world is so unrighteousness. There's nothing more that we can do. Oh, yeah, there is. Noah gave us that example of what to do. Even in an unrighteous culture, even in a wicked and sinful world, Noah walked with God. I want you to say that in your heart. Noah walked with God. Just say it again. Noah walked with God. Now, I want you to say it again, but this time I want you to replace Noah's name with yours. Pastor Sam walked with God. In order for us to be able to live so that we can be deemed by others, that we can be remembered by others as righteous, as blameless, we must walk with God. Noah gave us that example. God gave us this description of Noah for a purpose. Was Noah a super saint? No, he was not. Was Noah any different spiritually than you and I can be? No, he could not. He was human, just like you, just like me. And how did he, as a human being who loved God, who wanted to serve God, who worshiped God, how did he manage to be able to walk through that unrighteousness of that world at that time, the corruptness of that world at that time? He walked with God. How can you do it? You walk with God. If you don't remember anything else about this message this morning, take those four words with you. I walk with God. His secret was found in his day-to-day relationship with God. Noah walked with God. And are you ready for this? Noah walked with God just like Enoch. Remember what we studied last week? Enoch, what? Walked with God. It is when we walk with God that we find our power, the power to overcome temptation, the power to do what God wants us to do, the power to stand firm in unholy times. It's in walking with God that we find our direction. It's in walking with God that we find our purpose. It's in walking with God that we find our safety. Noah walked with God. Noah trusted God, just like Enoch. You and I can do the same. Now, what do I want you to take away from this message this morning? To live in a corrupt world, trust God. To live in a corrupt world, trust God. Trust God enough to take God at his word. Trust God enough to provide for you. Oh, didn't we just sing about that? Trust God enough to walk every day and all the way with him, like Enoch and Noah did. Yes, this world is corrupt. Yes, this world is full of evil and unrighteousness. But we can walk with God. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us from these opening verses of chapter 6 this morning of Genesis. Father, how you desire for us, even in a corrupt and evil and unrighteous world, to walk with you. And Father, in order for us to walk with you, we have to trust you. Father, Enoch trusted you that he walked with you every day. And one day he trusted you and you walked so far that you just said, you know what, just come on home. Just come be with me. And he trusted you enough that you were going to take him to that place you had been preparing for him. Father, Noah trusted you. Noah walked with you. Father, help us to be like Enoch. Help us to be like Noah. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? You know it by heart.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's sing it again. Come on, everybody.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
One more time, let's go, one more time, come on.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.